Move this mic. Our students have been practicing for the last couple of weeks, just preparing for Youth Sunday. And I was very excited about all the things that they were doing. And I was very excited about Allison Clark, who's part of our church, and she works for the Baptist Convention in New England, and she's in charge of youth ministry, was going to come and bring a word to challenge our seniors. Allison, yesterday, was brought to the hospital for, I'm going to see if I can get it right. Diverticulitis. She was brought to the hospital yesterday. And so I found out around 12 o'clock yesterday while we were practicing. And so I had to come, and Allison said, I won't be able to make it. She's going to be held overnight for observation. If you don't know, Allison was brought to the hospital just over a month ago, around a month ago, for emergency appendicitis. She had her appendix out. So she's been in the hospital twice in the last couple months. So if you would keep her in our prayers this morning. Also, I was given the opportunity to come and share. I wasn't really prepared. And so it's not more of a message that a sermon that I bring to you, but more of along the lines of what God has inspired and given me just a couple of words to just share with you this morning. And so let me just pray for us, and then we'll go right into it. Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity to come and just share. God, I thank you to be in a place where you are glorified always. I pray that our hearts and our minds in the next 15, 20 minutes will continue to be focused, that we'll tune out all the things that we have to do, that we can understand what you want to speak to us, what you want to share with us through me. God, I pray that you will use me as a vessel, understanding that I am unworthy to speak your words, but Lord God, you have granted me the privilege and the honor to come before your body of people, your children, and share this message. We pray all these things in your name. Amen. Our scripture passage for this morning comes from Philippians chapter 4. Page 1000 in your Bibles that are in underneath your chair. And if would you all turn with me to that. It's Philippians chapter 4, 6, and 7. It's a passage that many of us have heard before. And we're going to just dive into just a little bit about what God wants to do with that passage for us. I have a little different translation, but if you'd follow me, it says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for what he has done. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. In writing this message, when I sat down and I was here for, and when Allison told me and I started trying to figure out what I was going to say, I had nothing. I sat here for 2 hours yesterday, and I really was trying to figure out some stuff, trying to see if I could pull some video out that we do, the stuff that we do on youth group, and use that. And then I said, no, I can't use that. And I left here. I had so much on my mind. I was worrying about, you know, making sure all the kids would get here and that I was going to get up at 5:30 in the morning to be able to get here. And then I had a nail in my tire that I had to go and get fixed over in Clinton. And I left here and I was like, I have no idea what I'm going to do. And I began to worry. And one of the things, when I was in Clinton and on my way home, I took the long way home through West Boylston, I just began to think about just Jesus. Why am I worrying? Why am I stressing out? If I know the creator of the universe and he calls me his child, why am I worrying? That my mind needs to be focused just on Jesus. As I was writing this message, then I began, like, I got home and I told Jen, I'm going to be upstairs and I'm just going to write. The kids were just waking up for a nap, and there was a lot of other stuff going on, and I began to write this message for our seniors, our graduating seniors, those who are moving on to the next step. And I realized that the message that God wanted me to share was not just for our seniors, but was for all of us. The question was worry. How many of us worry? And not only how we worry, but what we worry about. So many of us worry about things that are just that we can't control, and we worry about how what's going to happen next. And it really not only just consumes us, worry doesn't just consume us, but for some of us, we worry so much that it cripples us to do anything. Some of us even think of we are professional worriers. My wife raised her hand in the first service. I don't think she did it this time. But some of us are just so good at it. But did you know that worry is a worldly emotion, not a godly one? It is not a godly one. And so many of our students, our graduates, are worrying about the next steps that they're going to take in their life's journey. How well they adjust without mom's cooking at college or in the military. How will they do their own laundry? How much detergent to put in without it overflowing? I experienced that. Will I get along with my roommate or my bunkmate if I join the military? How will I take my faith and make it my own? For some of us, it's more than that. For the rest of us, it's how am I going to pay the mortgage? How am I going to put food on the table? We worry about, for those of us who have children, do I have them in the right schools or the right extracurricular activities? Am I giving them a good balance? Am I giving them enough of God's word? Do my kids watch too much TV? Do I watch too much TV? We worry about all these things. But in the big realm of things, what we're worrying about is temporal, not eternal. God calls us to think and put our minds on eternal, not temporal. Not these things of this world. Because these things of the world, if we're a believer, if God has called us to him, the temporal really isn't a big deal. What school we go to, for our students, all these things, can I pay the mortgage, all these things, those are responsibilities that God calls us to follow our responsibilities. But in the big realm of it, the eternal impact, not so much. Our relationship with God is what's eternal, is what God is challenging us to worry about. Most of us tend to think really highly of ourselves. We love having the answers, at least I do, and we tend to think that we're right most of the time. Well, if you ask my wife, I'm not. But we also fall prey to the notion that we are ultimately responsible for everything in our lives. Consequently, we spend a lot of time worrying because we somehow have come to the belief that worrying is a positive tool in our lives. We have said, okay, if I worry about this, this is going to make it better. It's not. It's not a productive tool. Worrying does not do anything for us except for hinder us from knowing what God wants to give to us. A businessman once drew up something he called a worry chart, in which he kept a record of his worries. He discovered that 40% of his worries were things that probably would never happen. 30% were about past decisions that he could not change or unmake. 12% of the criticism was about other people's criticism in their lives of what he worried about. 10% were about things that had to deal with his health, and 8% of his worries were really legitimate. In other words, things he could do or change in his own life. How many of us are like that businessman? What I'm going to ask you to do is different than normal service. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. And I'm going to ask you to start thinking in your own lives and what you worry about. Be honest with yourself. Make it personal. And ask yourselves, how much do I worry about things that probably would never happen? The what-ifs scenarios in your lives. How much worry do you have about things, choices you've made, and the woulda, coulda, shouldas in your life? How much do you worry about what other people think of you, on how well you'll adjust, or how well you fit in? Think about your health, how much you worry about that. Then think about what's left, that 8% of real, legitimate worry that you have in your life. Now, open your eyes, and instead of spending time concentrating on the things we can control or change, we spend most of our time fretting over things that haven't happened, won't happen, or happened in our past and that we can't change now. And the key to getting rid of these things, the key of ridding ourselves, our hearts, and our minds of unnecessary worry is to get our eyes off ourselves and focus on Christ. Many of us consumed about what's next. God's challenging you to stop thinking about yourself. We're really not that important. our worries, our things that we think need to happen, where we live, how we live. If we focus on God and that's our main focus, that's where we need to be, our minds need to be set on. My life group was in between a couple of books. We did a book called Crazy Love, and we're doing a book on parables right now. And in between that, I brought a couple of things to our life group. And one of the things was a prayer called the Serenity Prayer. How many people have ever heard of the Serenity Prayer? Raise your hand. Some of you may not know that this prayer, the first part of the prayer, is one that everybody knows. It's like, God, help me change the things in my life. But there's a whole second part in it. And we're going to read through it. And I shared it with my life group, and I asked them the question. This was the question, and I pose it to you this morning, is what if you really prayed this prayer? With all your heart, prayed this prayer. How would it change and affect your life if you prayed this prayer every day and you meant it? Not just as something this is a cute little prayer. No, because it's so much more than this. I want you guys to read this with me. This is the full length. This is the original version by Reinhold Niebuhr. And so will you read this with me? God, give us grace to accept with serenity the things that cannot be changed, courage to change the things which should be changed, and the wisdom to distinguish the one from the other. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardships as a pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it. Trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen. Wow. How many of us have heard that prayer so many times and never really thought about it like that? The first thing about this prayer that jumps out to you is the acknowledgement of God in our lives. We need to acknowledge who God is and God's existence, and recognizing that he is truly the one and only one that can bring inner peace regardless of our chaotic circumstance. His wonderful presence in our lives brings serenity that can be found nowhere else. In Philippians 4, verse 7, in verse 7 it says, "His peace will guard our hearts and minds as we live in Christ Jesus. Until we allow the peace of God to enter our hearts, minds, and souls, we are never going to experience the amazing peace that God promises. There has to be a time in your life where there is a surrender to God's will in you. Many of us fight that. We'll say, God, I will give you everything else, but I will not surrender. I will not give you everything fully. I hold back just this little piece. God says, I need fully everything. The prayer goes on to speak about accepting courage and wisdom. When it all comes down to it, it's asking God to give us these things. In other words, it's surrendering to him. The second part reminds us to trust in the needs that God will work all things out. Recognizing that we usually don't really have any real control over hardships in this sinful world or the actions of others. Trust him and live one day at a time and enjoying each moment. How many of us take the time to enjoy each moment? How many of us are rushing around trying to control circumstances that we have no control over? God says, trust me. Trust me. Serenity prayer, how are we going to put this into practice? So you say, oh, well, that's great. I really understand that. But how do I use that into my day-to-day life? Perseverance and success aren't born out of good times. They are born out of trials. 1 Peter 4:12 says, don't be surprised at the fiery trials that you're going through as if something strange were to happen to you. The Bible tells us that we will go through trials and that we are going through them will make us stronger. And in our times of weakness, we will learn to rely on God. Human nature tells us, I can do it by myself. When we're going through the worry, when we begin to start worrying, when we're going through the trials, I don't know why it is, but we pull farther away from God rather than to run closer to him. Many of us run from God in trials because we start trying to do it on our own. We're gonna make it happen. God says no. It says in times of weakness, we need to learn on God. We need to rely on God's strength. Then he takes delight when we trust in him. We all desire in our own lives desire to be needed and to be wanted. God wants this from us as well. He wants us to turn and to trust him. God loves us so much. We serve a God that's jealous because he wants to serve nobody else but him. Our God loves us that much, and he desires for us to have this relationship with him where it's no one else but him. He says, love no other God. Be encouraged. Christ Jesus is faithful. We can rest in him, trusting him always in the outcome. We don't have to understand why things happen, and we don't always have to know what the outcome is. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. And in Hebrews 13:5, it says, God says he will never leave you or forsake you. Never is a very long time. He is always there for us, but we have to come to him. We have to be willing to come to him. Jesus said, come to me, all you are weary, and I will carry your heavy burdens. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke fits perfectly, and the burden I carry is light. Why are we worrying? These are God's promises for us. Why are we worrying? Why are we allowing it to consume our lives so much that it hinders us from relationships with our family, relationships with our friends and the body of Christ? And why are we worrying so much that it hinders our relationship with the Creator? If God created all this, why are we worrying? It's a simple, simple thought, but yet very hard to put into action. Very hard to trust in that way. The last part of the Serenity Prayer, in these scriptures, we can see that in the last phrase it says, and may I be supremely happy with you forever in the next and forever after. It's all about the after. We need to stop focusing on this right here, this moment in time, because it's not. It's a blink of an eye, God says. It's all about the last, the ever after, the eternal rather than the temporal. To my seniors who are still here, my charge to you is this, and to also to that many of you have been under the watchful eye of your parents, of teachers, of youth pastors and pastors, and you, it is time for you to take the next step into the unknown, but you need to understand that you need to choose. This is the time in your life when no one else can make a decision for you. Over the next 3 years, and for some of you, the next months, you will make decisions that will affect the rest of your life here on earth. You will face more temptations and more trials than any other time and any other period in your life. You need to choose. You need to understand that no one's going to make you go to church. No one's going to make you find a ministry that caters to you. Your parents aren't going to just say, okay, hey, come to church with us or other. No, you're going to have to choose for them. You're going to have to claim your faith as your own. It is no longer, for some of you, you have claimed your parents' faith for a very long time. I am a Christian because my parents are a Christian. Nope, wrong. I go to church. I'm a Christian because I go to church. Nope, wrong. Because you need to understand that being a Christian is not a phase. Being a Christian is not a youth group. It's not a church. And most of all, you need to understand that being a Christian is not a religion. Being a Christian is a relationship with Christ. Being a Christian is meaning that you are in a relationship, and the most intimate relationship that you will ever be in. Why? Because God made you. He knows everything about you. From the moment you were born, he's loved you. He loved you so much that he sent his only son to die for you. The idea in my mind of seeing my son die kills me. Couldn't do it. But God loved you so much. God loved you so much that he said, I'll send my son to die for you. The decision is yours to choose Jesus. Not a church, not a religion, just Jesus. And when we do that, when we choose just Jesus, nothing more, it makes God happy. When it comes to worrying and the things of the world begin to just get involved in our lives, I just say one thing, just Jesus. That's it. When you're facing those problems for our seniors and for us, facing mortgage payments and just unemployment and all the things that the world wants to throw on us, and we want to sidetrack us from what God plans for us and how he wants to move us forward and not hold us back, I say for you one thing, just Jesus. A simple concept. Nothing more, nothing less, just Jesus. When I say that, I don't mean just Jesus like it's a little bit. I mean, that's it. Give everything that you have to Jesus. As the band comes and plays the next song, understanding that the worries of the world are going to come. There's no doubt that you're going to face problems. Trials that God promises for those who are believers, we will face trials. As the band comes, we're going to sing a song called Surrender. And yeah, the other band's going to come. But it's an opportunity for us to lay those worries down before Christ. As we sing these words, sing them as an offering to God, as an act of worship, of surrendering the things in your life, just like in this skit, that stood between Christ and this young girl. The things of the world that get in the way, regardless of what they are in your lives, and all of us have them. But understand, like in that skit, that God is fighting for us and pulling for us and wanting us to know him in an intimate relationship. Just like in the beginning of that, he breathed life into us. He can make us whole. He can rescue you this day. We can stop worrying. How many of us would want to stop worrying? What kind of peace does that from that verse say? Man, I desire that. I want that. And as we sing, if God is calling you to do whatever, come up front, come speak to one of the to Neil, myself, one of the elders afterwards about surrendering some of the things that are holding you back from knowing who God is. I encourage you. I strongly urge you. I pray that you do that. That from this day on, that you can stand free, free indeed, as a Christ follower, as someone who is desiring to know Jesus and to know him in the intimate way that he wants to know you. Let's pray, and then the band will go. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for our students and their desire to chase after you in everything that they do. We thank you for our seniors, Lord God, that you have brought them this far, Lord God, and we know that you will continue to move them forward as they enter into their new journey in their life, whether it be college, military, taking time off, but understanding that they need, in order for them to have that relationship, they just need to choose you. Out of the multiple choices that they'll have over the next couple of months, that Lord God, that they will choose you and make you first. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.